Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
He's a cardiologist. He's a chef. He's America's culinary interventionalist. It's time for Code Delicious with Dr. Michael Fenster.
Hello, Food Nation, Healthy Nation. Are you ready for scrumptious and salubrious all-in-one tasty treat? I know you are. And I know that you know that means it is time once again for another Code Delicious. Today's diagnosis, the Big O. Now, for far too many, the Big O remains a mystery. How does one acquire it? What is it exactly? When do I indulge? All the time or just special occasions? Where do I find it? Do I have to go to that special place? And perhaps the most salient question, why bother? Is it really worth the extra effort and expense? I am, of course, talking about organics. So let us explore the nether regions into which these questions lead us and provide several points of contact with the facts that currently frame this discussion. What is organic? Now, a certified organic label, unlike other terms such as healthy, fresh, get grass-fed, all-natural, and super-duper stupendous, actually has legal ramifications and regulatory legs. The ability to label a product organic or 100% organic is regulated by the United States Department of Agriculture, or the USDA. To meet this requirement, the food must be grown and manufactured without using any hormones, synthetic fertilizers, pesticides, so on. To be 100% organic, single-ingredient foods must be produced by organic methods, and foodstuffs made from more than one ingredient must be made completely from the ingredients that meet organic definition. So if it's something that's grown in the soil cannot have been treated with synthetics for at least 3 years prior to harvest. To meet the requirements to display the organic label on the packaging, what you see in the store, the product must contain at least 95% organic product by weight. Now, for processed products to be labeled made with organic ingredients, they must contain at least 70% organic ingredients. Less than 70%, and the product may list those ingredients on the information panel. You can see them there, but it won't be allowed to be displayed anywhere else on the packaging. Now, the USDA definition of organic food is as follows, and I quote, "Organic food is produced by farmers who emphasize the use of renewable resources and the conservation of soil and water to enhance environmental quality for future generations. Organic meat, poultry, eggs, and dairy products come from animals that are given no antibiotics or growth hormones. Organic food is produced without using most conventional pesticides, fertilizers made with synthetic ingredients or sewer sludge, bioengineering, or ionizing radiation. Before a product can be labeled organic, a government-approved certifier must inspect the farm where the food is grown to make sure that the farmers are following all the rules necessary to meet these organic standards. And the companies that handle or process the organic food before it gets to your supermarket restaurant, well, they have to be certified too. Now, as most people are well aware, government certification of anything can be not only arduous, but expensive. Therefore, what the organic label really provides is an opportunity to confirm the sourcing of a variety of comestibles when we as consumers don't have access to verification or information regarding the growing, rearing, and processing of various food items. So if you're willing to invest the time and energy to source yourself, you may be able to procure organic quality food at a fraction of the price, all from producers who follow such practices, but find the certification process cumbersome, Byzantine, or financially prohibitive. This is exactly what many of the finest chefs in the country are really, really great at, sourcing local, high quality, wholesome, and delicious foods. So with a little effort and a little kitchen know-how, it is totally possible and reasonable to shop for organic quality food in an economical manner. Conversely, you can use the label as your guide and save both the time and work, but like most things of convenience, it's going to cost you a few bucks more. You know, I've just got a comment that I think it's really some strange days that we have come to such a point that it costs us more, either in money or in time and effort, to secure our foodstuffs in the simple and natural way that we've experienced them for the entirety of civilization up until the most present day. All of which raises the question that outside of individual taste and preference, is the cost of the Big O worth it in terms of health benefit? Here's a couple reasons why I believe it is. Vegetables and fruit. For a long time, it's been well documented that organic produce is significantly lower in pesticide residues and other chemical contaminants compared to conventionally grown fruits and vegetables. However, according to governmental limits, we've got to be clear here, both organic and conventional fall within the realm, as the government determines it, of safe to consume. With that being said, there is increasing evidence that organic fruits and vegetables are nutritionally superior to their conventionally grown brethren. Research studies have found them higher in antioxidants, phenolic acids, flavonoids, still beans, flavones, flavanols, and anthocyanins are just a few. And perhaps more importantly, too, they simply taste better. When you see an organically grown carrot bursting with the bright orange of a Caribbean sunset, it is because it is literally bursting with flavorful and healthful carotenes, not artificially spray tanned with orange dye number two. Next point, dairy. Previous studies have suggested that organic milk and certain milk products may be more healthful than the conventional counterparts. Now, a recent meta-analysis came out about a week ago that it looked over 170 previously published studies and confirmed the findings. Organic milk is higher in polyunsaturated fatty acids, and in particular, the extremely beneficial omega-3 type polyunsaturated fatty acids. This results in these products containing an omega-6 to omega-3 polyunsaturated fatty acid ratio that's much more akin to that found in the healthful diets from around the world, and really reflects the call to decrease this extremely high ratio that's found in the modern Western diet. Since this benefit is primary in the types and amounts of certain fats, this advantage logically extends to those dairy products rich in some components, such as organic butter and cheese. Next point, meat. Another recent meta-analysis looked at almost 70 studies comparing organic and non-organic meat products and found similar and striking differences. There were significant differences in the types and amounts of certain saturated fatty acids. Now, comparable to the examination of conventional versus organic dairy production, organically produced meats were much higher in total polyunsaturated fatty acids, and in particular, the omega-3 type polyunsaturated fatty acids, which were over 47% higher in organic meat. This is the same type of fat profile that forms the basis of the recommendations we've heard over the last several decades to include fish and seafood as part of a healthful dietary approach. Next, GMOs. Now, this topic of genetically modified organisms, or GMOs, is worthy of an individual and separate discussion, and we'll have that. But here we do need a brief mention because it's germane to our topic of organic. Because the definition of organic prohibits the process of bioengineering, organically labeled foods should be GMO-free. And also to help us out, there is another verification label from a third-party nonprofit 501c3 organization, the Non-GMO Project. And finally, I want to comment on House Resolution 1599 and 2393, or as I like to call it, sourcing and labeling, what's in a name. Now, this bit of governmental shenanigans, for lack of a better term, brings us full circle to the ability, and many would claim the right, to know what is in your food and where it comes from. In the summer of 2015, less than a year ago, the United States House of Representatives quietly passed both H.R. 1599 and 2393. Now, 2393 was a resolution, and I quote, to amend the Agricultural Marketing Act of 1946 to repeal country of origin labeling with respect to beef, pork, chicken, and for other purposes, end quote. Basically, in response to pressure from the World Trade Organization, the Country of Origin Labeling Amendment Act of 2015 repealed the requirement for meat products to be labeled with their country of origin. Previously, meat products had to include information on where the animals were bred, raised, and slaughtered. Now it's a game of where's the Waldo burger. 1599, the Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act, is the exact opposite. Classic bait and switch, folks. It is the establishment of a program to certify that food is non-GMO. In other words, GMO food does not need to be labeled in the United States. But if you want to differentiate it as non-GMO, you can, well, guess what? Go through another arduous, Byzantine, and expensive government certification program. Absolutely amazing. So it is with no small degree of irony that as the modern food industry manufactures more and more convenient options for our consumption, we must return towards our basic survival instincts. We must learn once again how to simply, accurate, efficiently, and economically source our food. And that's why, given the current state of affairs, we all need that big O.